Okay, Hebrews chapter 1. Let's continue in chapter 1. We left off in verse 1. Wow. Okay. We left off at verse 1.
That's good.
That seems like we covered more ground than that, doesn't it?
We covered a lot.
But one thing we will do is just to remind ourselves is when the writer of Hebrews is, what he's getting them to see is that they should go on with Christ because he is better than what they have been left in. He's actually encouraging them to progress with God. Our problem today when we talk to people is getting them to keep going with God, to move forward, to leave what God has left and follow him, walk with him. You know, when the writer of the Hebrews, God has left that old system. And he's letting them know that God has left that old system. Let us go on, he says, to perfection. And if we know perfection now, we know that's, let's go on to what? Maturity. You can't be mature staying stagnant in what God has done. We need to go forward. They need to go forward in what he is doing and will do, not what he has done. So they need to move from the past into the present that they might be utilized in the future. And when Paul, one of the things that he starts with, we looked at last week, he says the very fact that he starts off with this: God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past by the prophets, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. If nothing else, that shows you that God is progressive. That his message does not stay the same, and even though we'll read in some future verses that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, yeah, I know you heard that, yesterday, today, forever. He's the same, but his dealings with man and his revelation is not the same. It changes. And if anybody, all you have to do is look at the content of the messages. And we looked at some of the things we looked at last week was how God spake in time past. He went from a unwritten revelation, right, to which was revealed in the heavens, to specific revelations that he revealed through men. By visions, I think we said, by visions and dreams and appearances. He went through those, and then he builds up to a written revelation, which at that time the Hebrews had a written revelation from the law and the prophets. You know, every time those prophets would say, "Thus saith the Lord," even though they were speaking that, those things were recorded. Okay.
I saw something moving.
She's checked out already.
No.
She saw a bug.
I just saw something moving.
So, but he said, "Who God, who at sundry times," and since we missed that, sundry times is just a at various times. That's all it means. Sundry is a variety of a various. Different, a variety of times, and diverse manners, different methods, different messages, different modes of revealing himself. And you think about it, God is a God of versatility. And it's, of all the ways, this is what's amazing about a revelation, is this: of all the ways that God could speak and limit himself to revealing himself, he chose the written word. You ever wonder why? Why words? Why wouldn't he just stick to visions and revelation?
Yeah.
You would have a way to validate them, where they're from.
Takes more faith.
Well, you can study the word, you can't study a vision.
That's, you know what, because it always, it's, we talked about
flaws of men, if it was based strictly on them.
And we did talk about one thing Job said is, when he's talking about his experiences, he says, oh, that my words were written in a book, or engraven on the rock. Well, here it is. Look at this verse. Look at Hosea. Hosea chapter 3. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. This is a pretty interesting passage here. We're Hosea. Where is it? Right, Hosea. Chapter. Is it 3? Let's see. No, not 3. Am I in the right book? Let's see.
Well, you did mention Job. Was that what we were supposed to get?
No. Hosea. Wait, hang on a second. Habakkuk. I'm sorry. Habakkuk.
You're one of the eight prophets.
Yeah. Just keep going. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. If you got to Zephaniah, you went too far. Got that? I believe in that. I think we have the same Bible. Page 1144.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know if we do. Okay. Well, we don't have the same one. That's okay. Habakkuk, ready? Chapter 2. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, that's God is sending Habakkuk to pronounce judgment, the judgment that's coming. And he says, go, just wait for me to reveal it. I will tell you the time and what's going to happen. And it will surely happen. He says, when I tell you this, you know, he says, write it. Write the vision and make it plain. So when those who hear it, they will know how to respond. I love that, because he's saying that. He said, and the just, you know what? This is the only, you know how many times the Old Testament uses the word faith? This is it. The just shall live by his faith.
It's the only place faith is said in the Old Testament.
This is it right here. And he's saying that this is the, when you write this vision down, he says, when that man reads this, he will know how to respond.
I was thinking of something in the Old Testament, but it was mentioned in the New Testament about the Old Testament. His faith was counted for righteousness.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry.
So, But the point I'm making is this: is we talked about why He chose to write it down, because we talked about the revelation. Is it makes, as God increases His revelation, it increases your accountability to Him. It makes it what?
Actionable.
Actionable? What do you mean? Yeah, right. It makes you accountable.
Well, it's like with Israel, all the prophecies are coming to a head, and it's going to be, okay, is this the Messiah? Or is that him 2,000 years? Because that's the ultimate precipice of where everything's headed for Israel.
And that's what that's why you have general revelations, and they just streamline down. That's why, you ever notice when you're going through scripture is, well, look at this. That God is a God of time. He's a meticulous God. Well, we read some of those things, and he tells Abraham, he says, I'm making you a promise, and you will have a seed, and there will be a stranger in the land for 430 years. And after that time, they'll come out with great substance. Well, you know what? After this time goes by, Abraham's gone. These people are in bondage. Moses shows up at the proper time. And he says, God has remembered you. The God of your fathers has sent me to deliver you. And he said, Who is he? He said, when they ask me, what shall I tell them? Who shall I say sent me? And he said, tell them I am have sent me unto you. Because you know what? They think he's forgotten. That's a long time. They were 400 years in bondage. You think they forgot right here? 400 years preparation period, where
at least they had been told ahead of time to Abraham it would be 400.
Sure, somebody, look, Moses knew. And God showed, he says, you're the man that's to deliver them. Go tell them this. And he goes, and when they came out, the scripture said, when we talked about that, the self same day, 398, 399, year 3, day 340, 350, 351, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down to day 360, and when he comes that day, they're out. That's God's revelation. He keeps that. That's why when he gives them these time frames, even with Daniel, when he gives Daniel the 70 weeks, that's how when he progresses all the way up to when they know the time, they know what's supposed to happen. And it doesn't happen. That's why we can say today we live in the day dispensation of grace and know what we're talking about, because God wrote it down. He said, we're not there because, let me tell you why, because God doesn't lie. He said it would happen in 70 weeks. Well, this is 69. Something happens here. Well, this is the week to follow. We're right here. The only way we can validate that is if we believe that what God has written. It makes us accountable to His change, to His revelation, not our experience. When they showed him, when he went to the mountain, he says, the Lord knew that it was not going to happen. The kingdom. He knew it was not going to happen at that time. He takes Peter, James, and John up to the mount, and he does what? Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he's assuring them that I am who I say I am. Even though it'll look like this is it, I'm defeated. He takes them to the mount and he shows them his glory. That's why Peter, 1 Peter, look at this. You know the verse,
yeah,
huh?
We have a more sure word.
We have what?
A more sure word of prophecy.
A more what?
Sure word of prophecy.
What?
2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1. Now, that's why when we hold this in our hands, people will say a lot of things about it. Well, man wrote that. I don't believe that. But you cannot dispute the facts that are here. You cannot successfully dispute the connections, the timetables. You know, and one of the things that Ed was said, he said, you know, our gospel is simple. It's a simple gospel. It's easy to believe. The only problem is this, is faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the only thing that we could stay, like Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. To the Corinthians. Now, to the Hebrews, he says, I'd like to tell you some things about Melchizedek. He says, I can't, even the mercy seat. He says, but I can't speak particularly, not because it wasn't something that would be good to know. It's just that you are not ready for that. If he wrote it down, do you think it was some of the Hebrews who would knew about Melchizedek? Do you think it was some Hebrews who knew about the mercy seat? I'm just asking. Do you think it was some Hebrews who knew about Melchizedek?
Yes.
And some Hebrews who knew about the mercy seat? But not the whole.
No.
Do you think it's some people out there who are not?
Paul, when he said, you know, behold, I show you mystery, and he talked about in 1 Corinthians 2 that the hidden wisdom, otherwise, you know, the prince of this world will not crucify the Lord of glory. So, but you could see pictures and types and shadows in the Old Testament of it. Now he's saying, but I got some more about what went on there, more than what was revealed. So I'm sure that there's pieces that these people picked up, the believers, but then I guess Hebrews kind of says, we'll give you a little more.
And that's just a good, he says, in sundry times, divers manners, what God has done is piecemealed his revelation throughout time. He didn't dump it all on one guy at one time and say, okay, it would be just mass confusion. But what he does is he just goes along, and at the appointed time, he gives a little more information or dispenses a little more information. He goes a little while longer and he dispenses some more information through the dispenser of his choice. Right? And they give what they have. You ever, when you're reading through like Romans or Corinthians, you know, or even Ephesians, and it will say, one of the verses says this, if you prophesy, he said, prophesy according to what?
No.
Their proportion of faith. That doesn't mean you, in the proportion of how much you believe, it's how much you know. The proportion of faith is, you know what, the revelation that he has given you, you give that. That's the proportion of faith. In Ephesians, he says, as you know what, that every one of us is grace given. In Ephesians. The measure of the gift of Christ. Well, it's information. So when here, Peter. Get sidetracked. 1 Peter. 2 Peter.
I just say about your proportion of faith that I think is kind of neat is, in other words, all of this is the truth.
Sure.
The proportion of faith I have is what I know enough to believe in. And so that's my proportion.
I believe, therefore, I speak.
So that's my proportion. Now, if I study more and come to believe more, then I have a greater proportion.
That's right. And see, now, you just happen to have a greater proportion than the majority of people. Not because, like you said, we're so much smarter. It's we just listen. We listen more. And we believe what we hear. And God says, I'm here. And we don't say, no, you're not. We say, okay. We go. We follow. Right? And he says, I'm going here. And we follow. We don't stay back and wait.
I think everybody in this room has come out of some religious background, and you come out of it as you learn truth, and that's where your faith is. And if you're seeing this truth, you put that other stuff aside. You move on to maturity.
If you keep walking.
Right.
Right. As you receive the Lord, so walk in Him.
So, God has appointed time. When that appointed time is fulfilled, would you say then that was a portion of the fullness of time?
Yes. That's exactly what it is. When, matter of fact, he uses that, when the fullness of time was come. Okay. What do you mean? The fullness of time.
That particular.
Do you know, look, hold your hand right here. And, well, let's read this first. He says, for we have not followed.
Where are you?
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But were eyewitnesses of what?
Yes.
When was that?
Transfiguration.
Okay. He says, we didn't make this up. Peter's telling the Jews, he said, we didn't make this up. This is not a cunningly devised fable. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And he goes on, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now you can't beat that with a stick. He's saying that we saw some things, and there was three of us. Now you know, he says, in the mouth of what?
Three.
Shall what?
All words be confirmed.
Shall every word be established. So he can say, hey, me, James, and John, you could just take our word for it. And it would be sufficient. Because that's the requirement. He says, but we have a what? More sure word of prophecy. We have it written that he said he was coming back. He said, and you take heed to that. He said, you do well if you take heed to that. He turned them over to the word, to the written word. And he made sure that they knew it wasn't them that made it up. He says, holy men of God spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, you know what? While we're here, flip back to chapter 1. I mean, chapter, what is it? 1 Peter. Yes, not chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1.
Yeah, I think there's two ways of reading that verse. You know, you got the obvious knowing this verse that no prophecy is the scriptures of private interpretation of it. In the context, he says, all the men of God spake as they were moved. But I think, too, it points to the fact that you just can't take a verse in isolation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what both people, a lot of people do. They will pluck out a verse, and he even says there, that's what I say is private interpretation. In other words, it's off to itself. It's private. It's apart from the context.
Yeah, and it's, I can see that, where, you know, and these, what I can understand that part, but when he says interpretation, is origination, is, how many times have you heard this?
Word from the Lord.
The Lord showed me this. Huh? I'm a prophet. The Lord telling me, Blake, the Lord's telling me.
Somebody out there who's kind of back right now.
That's what?
That's private.
You mean to tell me that when Paul talks about he made known unto me this by revelation? That's why he has to go on and say what? I'm not lying. Because he was getting private interpretation. So he has to validate that. Well, God validated him. But you, on the other hand...
All of Jesus I know.
But who are you, right? So we have to, you know what? We have to watch when people say that. Especially now that the scriptures have been completed and established. When they start saying things, you know, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is Peter still talking to Jews. We're just reading this for the principle of it. Of receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the what? Glory that should follow. Unto whom, unto those prophets, it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, here's Peter writing. He says, now the prophets, they prophesied about this time right now, where Peter's talking about, not this time of grace, but he said this time, they prophesied about that. And they wanted to know what was going on. And They had the Spirit. It said right there, they had the Spirit of Christ. But for them, that prophecy was closed. Because remember we talked about as the accountability goes on, as the prophecy...
on a glass darkly.
As the time went on, he says, this is... You just speak it. This is for when you write the vision, make it plain that he who read it may run. He said, this is for those up there.
So when Peter said, this is that which was spoken
of by... It's for you right now.
Yeah.
That's why the Lord can stand up in the synagogue that day and said, this day.
The scripture is still in your ears.
And he read it back there.
And he stopped mid-verse.
Think about that. The verse talked about him. Delivering the captives. The time they had to wait for him to be born, to be 12, to be 30, to go to the synagogue, and then he can pick it up at the appointed time and say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Preach it.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's God. That's time, his time and his written word. He said that, how many times you go through Paul or the Lord's ministry, you'll see how many times he would say it, that it might be fulfilled, that the scripture might be fulfilled, and the things that happened to him from the prophets. And we talked about even when he's dying, he's checking these things off. The word of God. Check. That it might be fulfilled, Even from where he grew, how he was born, where he grew up, where he lived, what he said, what he did, who he chose, who he sent, how he died, where he died, why he died. It's all what? It's all written. Those guys back there didn't have a clue. He said, it's for them.
They were just saying what they were told.
Don't worry about that. Just say it. And he says, unto whom it was revealed, that was not for you. It's for future time. So that's back to the, you know what? The diverse times and sundry matters. And were we going somewhere else? Well, it's back to Hebrews. We get past verse 1. That's he says, hath in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto, you know, there's time frame again. Last days. Not the last days of grace, but it's the last days of their schedule.
Yeah.
Of their schedule. He says, hath in the last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You know, I don't know about you guys, but when you see those key words popping out, Annette said this, he said, now that's what she said about the fulfillment. The time is when he said, this is the appointed time. He has appointed him heir. That's not just when he say appointed him, says that's your title. The whole time frame goes into that. An appointment is, you know what? We have an appointment. It denotes the time, the place, and the people.
That's what he did throughout the Old Testament. The Moed, the feast days. I mean, those were appointed times. They've been working on an appointed time schedule for been doing the rehearsal for thousands of years.
And they all meant something. So when you know what, and when they. When she's speaking of the time schedules, feast, as these feasts begin to be fulfilled, they're only fulfilled when the shadow meets the substance. And when the antitype meets the type, or the type meets the antitype. That is, when the fake meets the real. I won't say fake because it's when the
prophecy becomes reality.
When the prophecy becomes reality. So when Passover is fulfilled, it's when the Passover meets the Passover. So what? When the Lord is the Passover, and when he is actually sacrificed on the Passover is what?
Fulfilled.
It's fulfilled. Because that was a shadow of what? Of what he was to do at the appointed time. So you have all those Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. He knocks them off. Boom, boom, boom. Death, burial, resurrection. That's it. 40 days later, he goes away 40 days. 40 days he comes back. 10 days. He's with them 40 days, 10 days. He comes back on the 50th day. He sends what? The Holy Spirit. 50 days. He sends the Holy Spirit to them. That's on the day of what? So the scripture says this. And when the day of Pentecost was
fully come. Acts
2. Here it comes. Bam. Check. What's next?
Trumpets.
Yeah. You know the Jews? You know, you see that TV show where the guy, what's the guy's name? I want to say Larry, but that's not his name. It's Levitt. Levitt. Never seen that guy on TV. Comes on like late at night most time. Zola Levitt.
Jewish guy.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, send your money in and you can help a Jew go back to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is the in gathering where the Lord is talking. No, it's not. That's your appointment. That's not his appointment. When he sends them back, you know what? You won't have to be on TV begging.
You won't have to have anything to do.
No. That's not his.
Do you care if you go over that one more time where you did like a chart, the feast and
the order of the feast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Leviticus. You can look at Leviticus. I'll show it to you quickly. Leviticus 23.
On the flip side, Paul says that we're not appointed. It's like he was sent not to Beth.
We don't observe.
We're not appointed.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the feast days.
Well, what he says is, just like he says, I was sent not to baptize. Not that I just wasn't sent to baptize. I was sent not to baptize. He says in Thessalonians, you are not appointed,
because
they're appointed to wrath.
That's on their schedule.
Yep. Leviticus 23.
Or 26. 23, you got it? Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. I know you know that. Just 23, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord. They belong to him. They originated from him, and he gave it to them for a purpose, for a reason. He says, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are what? Your feast. My feast. 6 days thou shall work be done, but the seventh day is what? First thing he... Listen, if nothing else, you know, he says, you keep the Sabbath. You know that it's his Sabbath. You know it means something, don't you? It's a time frame. 7 days. 6 days you work, the seventh day what?
Rest.
It's a time frame from the very beginning. He says, these are, verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in all their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's what?
Passover.
Verse 1. And on the 15th day, the same month, is the feast of what? Unleavened bread. Unto the Lord, 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. Verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, ye shall bring a sheaf of the what?
First
fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Death, burial, resurrection, right there. Passover death, unleavened bread is what? The unleavened is sinless. He dies for what? When he rose, how many sins did he have? When he rose? None. So the next one is what? That's how the Lord could raise him up, because he knew that the unleavened days of unleavened bread were completed. The sin had been taken care of. No sin. First fruits, resurrection. verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths. What's 7 times 7?
49.
Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath. What's that's 50 days. Ye shall number 50 days, and he tells you. And ye shall offer a what? New meat offering unto the Lord. That's Pentecost. That's the day of Pentecost. A new offering unto the Lord. 50 days. 5 and 10. What?
Grace and honor.
Would you say grace and what?
Honor.
Honor, yes. You know what? And I'll say this. Grace is life. Life and honor. It's when they got, he told them, you stay here until you get what? Let me ask you this. This is kind of like a trick question. Did they have life before the day of Pentecost? Did the disciples who were gathered together, did they have life before? Did they have spiritual life before the day of Pentecost?
It wasn't fully come. They weren't powered.
He gave it to them, but they didn't just get it the way we did.
Okay.
They had it. I mean, he had given it to them on occasion.
Okay.
What's the answer?
I just threw it out there because they didn't have the Spirit. The day of Pentecost, they got the Spirit.
He couldn't come until first Christ had to go before he could send the comfort.
But he did enable them. And they were, you know what, I would say they were definitely justified by him, declared righteous. They were righteous in his sight. So anyway, I said it was just to throw it out there. He says, ye shall number after the 7th Sabbath, ye shall number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be a fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. If you, this goes, you can go back to Ezekiel and see what, when he's talking about bringing those 2 tribes together. That's why most people think that was the beginning of the church.
Right, Jews and Gentiles.
But it wasn't. So, but here's another feast. That 50 days, that's Pentecost. Right? Okay, flip over to verse 24. Speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this month, of the 7th month, there shall be what? A day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. Now, all these are things that are going to come up as we go through, progress through Hebrews. Well, you'll see that if the Lord is a type, if the priest, rather, if the priest is a type of the Lord, if the priest is a shadow of the Lord's work, what the priest does, what the high priest does, is a shadow of what? Don't be scared. What?
Don't be scared.
It's a shadow of what the Lord will do. When that priest went into the, when the service they performed, that was all types and shadows. When they didn't know what they were doing. I mean, they knew what they were doing, but they didn't know that I'm signifying the Lord. Look, this, they had 8 articles of clothing. And they all meant something. They all prefigured something that the Lord, a characteristic that he would have. And the colors that they, even to the colors they had, it was, you know what? He's just putting this on. He's putting on the hat, the girdle, the mitre. He's putting on the ephod. He's putting on the coat. He's putting on the robe. He's putting on the linen breeches. He doesn't know what's going on. He just knows the Lord told me I need to do this.
Right. There's final instructions.
He got an instruction. It was for a black tie.
That's he's got the he's got the ouches on his shoulder pads. He's got the Urim and the Thummim in his robe.
And the breastplate of
brass. He doesn't know. He got the 12 tribes on his engraving on there. And he's going in there. He doesn't know what that is. He's just going through his...
Just a requirement.
I mean, he knows that this... He said, you make sure you do everything exactly like I tell you to do it. And he goes into... One man goes in there, into the Holy of Holies, past a curtain with cherubim on it. Engraving in the curtains, cherubim. You know what a cherubim is? Cherub. Well, it's a cherub, but it's their angelic host. And there's no light back there. The cherub is a deep, dark, thick cloth, and you can see them in there, like outer space. And there's heavenly beings out there. And he goes in there behind that. Just me. And he goes in there with what?
Sacrifice.
With what?
Blood.
With blood. And what's behind there?
The mercy seat.
What else?
Incense.
That's it. The mercy seat. Cherubim. Cherubim. Mercy seat. And he does what? How many times? Seven times. Blood. And he gets through. And there, everybody's. He's got. But that's the Day of Atonement. Don't let me do that. That's. It's, I forgot why we were even over there. The 27 and verse 34, speaking to the children of Israel, saying the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of what? Tabernacles. This is, you know what? They dwell, this is the day that they dwell in what? Booths. The booths. B-O-O-T-H-S. Yeah. He says, verse 42, he says, ye shall dwell in booths, what?
Seven days.
All that are Israelites born shall dwell in what? Booths. That your generations may know that when I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths, when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. The booths is a type of the kingdom. When they finally come out of bondage and perform all those, the last one is tabernacles, booths, where they dwell, when they dwell in peace and safety in the land. How many left? Three left. Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Tabernacles.
How many haven't been accomplished?
How many haven't been
fulfilled?
Yeah. If we're still waiting, why haven't the trumpets come yet?
Grace, mystery.
So, you know what? The appointment is what?
The appointed time.
It's overdue. Yeah. The appointment is long overdue. Yeah. So if the appointment is overdue, that means the time, the place, and the people are on hold. Aren't they?
Yeah, sure.
The time is on hold. Certainly the people are on hold. And the place is on hold.
Just for us.
Just a new thing is happening right now.
Right. Long suffering of the Lord.
That's what Paul says. But now, the time elements. But now the righteousness of God is revealed. You know, he said that he might declare at this time his grace, that he might be just and the just at this time. at this time. Does that, you see the feast? Okay. Okay. Back to Hebrews. Okay. He says, he hath spoken, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He appointed his Son. His Son is what? He's heir. He's the heir. He hath appointed his Son heir, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down, on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's right. Colossians chapter. No, that's a lot in that verse, but what we'll do is just kind of go a little bit toward it, and then we'll finish up next week. But he says he has chosen his Son, who's the what?
Heir.
By whom also he made the world. You know, and I think about this, and usually through the scriptures you find this, where the Son, the achievements, accomplishments of the Father and the Son are usually grouped together. So what the Son accomplishes is attributed to the Father. For example, when David kills Goliath, he goes, the first thing they asked Saul asked this. He said, you know what he said? You know what Saul said when it happened?
Tell us.
He raised a question. He said, whose youth is this? Whose son is this? Why didn't he just say, what's your name, boy? He said, whose son is this? And he said, Jesse's boy. Really? And so that automatically, you know, it's so you go through there, and there was, and you go through scripture, and it said this, and so and so begot so and so, being the son of so and so. And so and so reigned, and he died, and his son, and he walked not in the ways of his father. It always tied that together. The work was always together. And when David says, Lord, you're just so good to me, I want to build you a house. Mm-mm. He said, not you, but what?
Your son
can do it.
You're
so he said, matter of fact, he says, and your son, I'm going to give the kingdom to him forever. He didn't mean that son. So when his son shows up and he says, guess what? I'm the son of what? I'm son of David. I'm the son of Abraham. And they said, wait a minute. How can you be Abraham's son and you're only 30 years old? Because they're attributing the accomplishments of the Son to the Father. And they tie them together. So when Jesus Christ does show up in Matthew, he can say, Jesus, these are the...
The book of the generations, Jesus,
the son of Abraham. You know what he says? Now watch this. And we'll stop with this. He said, and this is Jesus Christ. He shows up. He says, Jesus Christ is the son of Abraham. What does he have coming? He's the son of David. What does he have coming? He's the son of man. And he's also called the son of God. And then there's one little guy left out. As supposed to be.
Son of Joseph.
We put him. But all these have something to do with this, with the Son and his accomplishments and even his appointments. And not just that, all this, he says. And he said, verse 3, he said, he's the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And we'll pick that up next week. Is, and you think about these, all these, him being the Son, he has something. He's an heir to all these. To all these characters. To Abraham, David, to Son of Man, and to God. All these, he has to be partaker in something. An heir in something that pertaining to these four categories. Does that make sense?
Like with Abraham, he was the heir of the seed to whom the promise was made.
So, you know what? And you think about this. The sons are types of the Son. So he has a son that's a type of the Son. He has a son that's a type of the Son. Doesn't he? There's something in him being called the Son of Man that he has invested in that title. Same way with this. So this is where this comes in. We're going to find out a little bit next week about the image. How that ties into these two. Especially that. Especially being God. I know that's pretty vague, but... Pick up there and we know that. I won't say the Lord was somebody. We is somebody. We know that. But when you see, he's got everything covered. He's got everything covered. I think it's a verse in Isaiah that says, who has been his counselor? Who has been his instructor? Who has showed him what to do? It's like, like my old English teacher used to say, who died and made you boss? Like when you start trying to call the shots. So who died and made you boss? I'm like, mm-mm. Somebody died and made him boss. and he's a good one. All right, we'll stop there. We'll pick up verse 2 next week.